The big challenge we face in Parshas Pahaloscha is what's with these inverted nuns. Rabbi Yehuda holds that they're not five books of the Chumash. They're not five books in the Torah. There are seven. There's Reishis Shmos Vayikra, the part of Bamidbar prior to the inverted nuns. Those two psukim, Vayihi bin Saharon, and Uvnuchu Yomar, is a sefer unto itself. The rest of Bamidbar, that's six. And then Devarim is the seventh sefer. And the question is, what's the logic of Rabbi Yehuda? The other issue is, what's happening in Parshas Pahaloscha? For that matter, what is happening in all of Sefer Bamidbar leading up to the inverted nuns, and then what happens after the inverted nuns? The whole structure of the Machanos, how the Jews will travel, how the Jews will function. The story of the Ananei HaKavod as they're about to travel. The creating of the Chatzotzros, the preparation for the travel. All of that is leading up to what point? Entering the land of Israel. The first three Lishonos of Geula that we read about in Parshas Va'era were fulfilled when we left Mitzrayim. The fourth was what happened at Har Sinai. The fifth, Vehevesi, the God, the I Hashem, will bring you into the land of Israel, is all that's left to fulfill. And it's going to happen. There's Kvitzas HaDerech, the Ananei HaKavod are going to smooth out the road to travel. And it's just a matter of time. In fact, had it not been for the delay of the Chet HaEgel, the sin of the golden calf, well, they would have been in Israel already. But the Jews did tshuva. The Jews changed. They transformed themselves. They're ready to move forward. We have the situation of the observing of the Pesach. And all that's ready to do is move forward. And what happens? What happens is a tragedy. A terrible tragedy. Vayhi ha'am kemis'on nimra. The same Moshe Rabbeinu, after the incident of that and the incident of Kivros Hatava that we read about in the Sidra, he's not the great defender of the Jewish people. He's not the Moshe Rabbeinu of Chet HaEgel. Mecheni na misifrecha. Hashem, if you don't forgive them, then wipe me out from your book. He's devastated. Hashem, why have you done this to me? You forced me to bear them kasher yisa es omenes ayonek. Way, so to speak, a nursing, some want to say it's a nursing mother, others a nursing father. I can't do this. I can't do it. He gives up on the people. What happened? What went wrong here? And everything is a function. All of Jewish history is a consequence of those two inverted nuns, Vayehi bin Soaharon. You know what that is? They're parentheses. That's what the Rav says. That's what should have happened. We were ready to enter the land of Israel. When Moshe Rabbeinu says to his father-in-law, Yisro, Nosi Manachnu, it's not the Jewish people will. No, we come with us on the great march. We're going to enter the land of Israel with the Torah that we have, with the system that we have. We'll transform the destiny of humanity. Those who are evil will be eradicated, but will impact the rest of humanity in a way that ultimately will be able to fulfill the goal of what humanity was supposed to be. There's such an optimism there. There's such an excitement. This is a movement. This is a movement that's not only going to transform the Jewish people, who now have this reestablished relationship with Hashem after the Chet HaEgel, who have the Mishkan, who have the Shechina in their midst, who are learning, who are engaged, who are going to create a society that will shape and define all other societies. It will impact the world. And it's about to happen. It's about to happen now. Such optimism. such idealism. But what happens? The Gemara in Shabbos says they wanted to get out of Har Sinai. You know, they'd been there. Think about almost a full year they'd been at Har Sinai. A year short of 10 days. Ketinok haboreach mi beis ha-sefer. Like a kid on the last day of school. You know, don't let the door hit you as we're running out. They had enough of God. They had enough of his mitzvos. They had enough of the burdens and responsibilities. And what did they want? Taiva. See, the Chayta Egel, even though it was the worst sin possible of Avodah Zarah, but you could understand it. They couldn't relate to an abstract, ethereal God, to a God of wisdom. Their whole connection to Hashem had been Moshe Rabbeinu. Now that Moshe is gone and left us, we need something that's more permanent, more tangible, some way to connect to God, because we can't relate to this abstract, ethereal God. And the primitive ways of which they had been raised in Mitzrayim, they hadn't been able to shake. But the motives, at least, were sincere. The motives were sincere. It was just done in a corrupt way. But here, what does it say? They were bochel mishpachosav. They were crying over the fact of the family restrictions, the sexual restrictions that were imposed upon them, the arayos, nida, kiruv basar, all of these prohibitions now that would, so to speak, impinge upon their desire for instinctual joy, unbridled instinctual engagement. And what are they complaining about? The man? The man was the most incredible gift. Instead of it slowing you down like a heavy meal, instead of having to have the need to defecate, it gets absorbed into the blood system. It enables you to be sharp, to be fresh. No, they wanted, what did they want? They wanted what they had in Egypt. In Egypt, they were slaves. In Egypt, they had to work like dogs for their food. But you know what? Rashi quotes, it was chinam. What is chinam? Nothing was free in Egypt. It was chinam from a mitzvos. There's no laws of kashrus. There's no obligation of a bracha. There's no waiting between meat and milk or milk and meat. There's no bracha achrona. It's don't control my instinctual. Don't control my drive. The same thing when it came to the financial. There's laws of tzedakah. There's responsibilities. There's responsibilities to your employees, responsibilities to others. They did not want the bound life, the directed life. They wanted to be free. They wanted to be prisoners of their instincts, of their drives, and their desires. That is not sincerity. That's not sincerity which is misguided. That's corruption. And it devastated Moshe. Because after all that he'd invested and all that he'd tried to invest, this is who and this is what they were. And I can't bear this. I can't bear them alone. And instead of moving forward, nosim anachnu el hamakom, We're going to be in Israel any day now. Now, long before, it's not that long from a time point of view, but conceptually, long before the sin of the spies, it was over. The tragedy, the devastation, is this week's Parsha. And now when you have other Nevi'im and you have other members of the Sanhedrin, it's wonderful that they're being educated. But when it's not coming from Moshe, and when Moshe's not your leader, and when Moshe's not the Melech HaMashiach, it's not the same thing. And the tragedy of what could have been and what should have been, we haven't corrected that tragedy ad hayom hazeh, 3,500 years later. And we still have not reached the point of Ayahi ben Soah Haron, of what could have been and what should have been. And that's why everything hinges around those inverted nuns, those parentheses, those brackets. That's how the Rav explained what's happening in all of Sefer Bamidbar leading up to the inverted nuns and what happens afterwards. And it's one of the great tragedies of human history, because not only have the Jews suffered, but who would have been the ultimate fate of humanity still has never been fulfilled. That's the inverted nun. What could have been, what should have been, but what wasn't. And what this precipitous fall led to. Ultimately, the death of that generation. Ultimately, the loss of Moshe Rabbeinu as the leader of the Jewish people. And till this day, 3,500 years later, the Yemos HaMashiach still have not come. That's the idea of what Rabbi Yehuda was saying when he says there are not five Svarim in the Torah. There are seven. That's Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. And that's everything leading up to the inverted nuns, everything after the inverted nuns. And this ultimately is what created the fertile soil that will lead to the terrible rebellion of the Meraglim and the downfall of this generation.